This is the Adi Mas 2018. Continuing Ras Lila classes, chapter 29, starting verse 29. Of course, this Adik Mas, and Adik Mas, the Ishtadevata for Adik Mas, is none other than Radharani Krishna. Some months are Krishna's month, some months are Radharani's month. Kartika is Radharani's month for the Raghunugya Bhaktas. For the general class of Vaishnavas, Kartika is Damodar Mas. But for us, we say Nibi Damodar. Nibi means Krishna was tied up by the petticoat. Let's say that. Petticoat rope of Radharani. That's a heavy punishment. And that word is Nibi. Nibi means the string of the undergarments. So she's really showing her anger. You're late. Why you're late? I've been waiting for you all night in the kunja. Now you're coming at sunrise with obvious signs that you met someone else. So I'm going to punish you. You ever do this again, I'll beat you up. I'll drag you through the Yamuna upside down. I'll do this. I'll throw you up a kanama tree. I'll do anything. And Krishna was like, oh, whatever you like, beat me. Beat me with your words and scratch me with your nails of anger and bite me up with your... So these dialogues are there in the Ras Lila and other books like Gita Govind. So finally, Radharani says, I'm going to tie you up so you can never leave my heart and never leave this kunja again. So Krishna says, all right, pray tell. What will happen now? I'm going to tie you up. So you... Krishna says, oh, this is very serious punishment. Is this a punishment or this is an udipan? This is Shashan or Udipan? Shashan is punishment. Shashan. And Udipan is an excitant or a stimulant to ignite the Stairati. So it's, you can imagine if your most beloved pulls down or pulls the string off those clothing, then it might accelerate the intimate attraction between the lover and beloved. Yes? So this was Radharani's very ironic form of punishment. Krishna. So we that's our, in other words, there's devotees, there's Vaishnavas of all different caliber and different modes of nature. And then there's the Raghunugya Bhakta. The Raghunugya Bhakta, he sees in a certain angle, he thinks in a certain angle, and he feels in a certain angle. And that angle is all the grace of Krishna and Guru. It says Karunya, Bhagavan Karunya, Bhagavan Karunya, Bhakta Karunya, Maitra, Lobaika Hetuka. In Bhakti Rasamriti Sindhu, the part 1, chapter 2, verse 309, at the end of the Raghunuga Bhakti chapter, says that this rag, this special angle of vision, this way of thinking and way of feeling, is received as a gift. Anarpitam Trincharat. It is a gift from the Guru. We may go in that direction and be curious and attracted and have greed to read these shastras describing Radha and Krishna. But, and that greed is also, of course, that's what we're saying. Matra labhaika hetuka. Hetuka, the cause, matra, the only cause of rag is Bhakta Krunya or Bhagavan Krunya, the mercy of Bhagavan or the devotee. So when that mercy comes, already by purva samskaras and last life, you may have greed, you may have read so much and heard so much, but you never took shelter of a Raghunuga Bhakta, but you took Vaishnava Diksha. So then in this life, when that, this is the kripa, this is the mercy of the Guru. This is what is, you can't see. Can you see love with your eye? To some extent. But it's just transcendental. Love is something perceivable. And the transcendental love is perceivable in the eyes. So those that try to practice on their own and they're studying and reading, it's very good and it's very helpful in promoting their attachment and attraction. But when one takes shelter of devotees that are immersed and absorbed day by day, playing their particular part and rendering their particular service in the context of the Leela, then they have a certain way that they're seeing, which is how they're seeing in their meditation, and a certain way their feelings, how they're feeling in their meditation, and a certain way they're speaking everything. So this is the karunya of the guru. So then this is my practical experience, I can say. That's also siddhantically correct. The access, you know, the key to the treasure house, or the key to the palace, or the key to the pleasure island, is the mercy of Guru. So therefore, when they someone says Jai Damodar, they go in the temple in Vrindavan to visit the Goswami Saptalaya, the seven temples of the Goswami Saptalaya, then people are saying Jai Damodar, Jai Damodar. So then, as soon as a person hears the Damodar, the Rag Bhakta, then it's Udipan. Then he thinks, you're that Damodar. You're that Nidhi Damodar. And now I'm going to come up and take darshan and say, listen, remember who you are. And remember who I am. I'm a Dasya. And I'm just here to remind you that it happened once, it can happen again. So it's a different feeling. Because as you see in the Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 4, says, Mora Putra, Mora Saka, Mora Pranapati. This is the view that Raghunatha Gobhakta thinks that Krishna is equal to me or less than me. But the Vaidhi Sadaka always thinks, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabhya Britya. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigra Sarva Karana Karana. That he's the Parameshwara, he's the supreme controller, he's the supreme enjoyer, he's everything like this. So this is very good, and this is necessary to understand the basic tattva. But that's the Vaidhi viewpoint, vichara. And then the Raghunatha Bhakta, he has studied that, and he understands all Bhagavad tattva. But then, by the mercy of Guru and their own sincerity, then they start to see and feel that Krishna is my friend. Krishna comes to the mantris, he falls at their feet, and he begs for their kripa. The mantris, that's the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. That's one of us. We will gain a pass. You know, you get a free pass to go to a costly sports performance or movie or so. Someone may give you a free pass. So when we get the mercy of Guru, then we can enter there. So then a whole external life, the Rag Bharg, which is the Sirupena Sevya, Seva Sadaka Rupena, Sirupena Chatri. So Chatra means at the same, Cha Itra, means at the same time. It's not like now we serve as a Vaidhi Sadaka in our external body. Oh, and later then we do the internal meditation. No. Rupa Goswami is Seva Sadaka Rupena Rupena Chatrahi Cha Itra. He Eva. Certainly these two practices must be done simultaneously together. This is Raghunatha Bhakti. And this is in 1.2.295 or so, that chapter where the verses about Raghunatha Bhakti. So it's a way of seeing. So just when this whole experience of hearing Ras Lila, there's so many emotional exchanges, so many beautiful scenes. Of course, it's a divine love story. It's the greatest love story ever told. And as we told in the beginning classes, we were explaining the aspects of the Leela, because it has five acts, has five parts, and has scenes and everything. I explained that in the beginning classes. It meets all the parameters of a drama. There's a hero and a heroine. There's meeting, there's separation, all these things. So before we start, I thought I would review some of the benefits of hearing Harikatha. And we have quotations from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how he feels about the Ras Lila, about hearing the Ras Lila, and also from Srila Prabhupada. It's a very interesting point when you think about it. It's a very way back in the beginning, in 1969, Srila Prabhupada published the Krishna book, which is the 10th canto. So simultaneously to giving us the basic tattva, he gave us very first books for Isopanishad, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Gita, And Gita, Nectar, Gita came in 71 or 72. Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu came in 60 or 70, and Krishna book came in 69. So the foundation of Ras and the foundation of Krishna Leela, Prabhupada gave in the beginning, and yet later when he's writing in his purports, he said, one should not jump over to the 10th canto. So who is he speaking to here? See, this is the point. There's Kaladesha Patra. Every shloka, every teaching, Guru writes a letter to you and gives it the instruction. That's a particular person, a Patra, a particular time and circumstance. When someone takes that letter, says, no, Prabhupada said, then it goes universal application. And it may be very correct, and it may be not exactly best. So this is, one has to consider these factors. Who's speaking to whom? Where, when, and why, and what is the message? So this, when Prabhupada, he understood that this is where we have to go, Jaya Radha Madhava. I often say, you must have heard so many times, let's dream of this one phrase, Jaya Radha. Because to me, that's what captured me the most. In 74, when I sat in the old LA temple, it's the same location, but it's some more old part of the building, which I think became a fake museum, or Los Angeles, fake museum or cook or kitchen or I don't know something. But then it was a temple, and Prabhupada sat right opposite the DDs in the back of the temple, looking straight. And there was a line of gents on one side and ladies on the other side, and we were looking at each other and dancing to Prabhupada and dancing. It was like really nice. It was really. And now it's like okay, you know, first 5 feet ladies, and then 10 feet men, and then whatever mixed after that. You have all different kinds of rules and regulations. And then it was like, you know, half-half. You know, half mercy of Thakurji for the ladies and half for the men, half mercy of Guruji. Everybody, you know, had half. And then no one's saying, oh, I can't see the ladies, oh, I can't see the men. No one had any idea, oh, there's some ladies there. There's some demarcation, and there's some souls on the other side, and they look like they're in bliss, and we're in bliss. This is the Prabhava, the Guru. So when we went there, Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasana saying Jaya Radha Madhava. And that never left my ear. I was not exactly connected at that time, 74, next year. So this, I think, Prabhupada would continually, it's like you see different stores and products, they have some lingo that goes with it, you know, guaranteed cure or something or whatever. They have these certain, they have some store. Here you'll get your money's worth. Or they have like some main title and subtitle. So Prabhupada, I think he was always, and so whenever you go in that store, you ever see the product, they always have their logo. There's a logo, and there's some jingle, some little, what do you say, Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola, they all have these things, enjoy or, you know, whatever. They have different. Slogan, I guess. So that product becomes associated with that slogan. This is what I'm trying to say. So Prabhupada's product is Radha Krishna Prem in the Kunjas of Vrindavan. So every time every single day he was reminding, or maybe more if he gave more class, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadari. What less? Giridhari, greatest Vaishnava, also Bhagavan. So double kripa. Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Janavallava, Gopi Anugata. So that's Krishna, that's the Premashraya and Prem Vishaya. And then there's the Bhakta, and then that's where the Gopi Anugata. First Prabhupada is establishing the Prayojana. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. So the goal is the Kunjas of Vrindavan serving Radha Madhava in their enjoyment, Vihari. And who's the best servants over there? Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadari. So Radha Madhava are together in the first night. And where are they? They're in the Kunjas of Vrindavan. And who's surrounding them and assisting them? The Gopi Jana, who are also the Vallabhas. Giri Varadari. And how will this all happen? And how will anyone approach even the distant fragrance of such amazing experience? By the mercy of Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. So that's why Lord Chaitanya said, I am in Radha Bhav. I am Krishna. Krishna Sarupam. And I'm in the Kanti and Bhava Radharani. And so I've come to perfect my tasting, understanding of Radharani's love, and what happiness she feels by serving me. So I want you to distribute this love. And I want you to write about this love. But in order to go there, you need the mercy of Giriraj. So Das Goswami, from my hand, 3 years I'm crying on this Shila, I give it to you. Now you cry. So the Giriraj worship is a worship of crying parampara. Worshipping Giriraj, like you get certain mantras. So that there's mantras and tantra and mudras, so many things that may come with the puja. So in this case, Giriraj is not bathed with water, he's bathed with the tears of Mahaprabhu. So then, how do you think Das Goswami was bathing the same Shila, which is now in Bhagavad Nivas, with the tears of his love, Viraha Prem? So there's a teaching there. On one level, it's the Ras. It's on the Adhyatmic level of Bhagavan and his Nityasthita Parikars, and the Ras is there exchanging with the Thakurji or Bhagavan, Sakshat Rajendra Nandan, Shamasundar, and the Govardhan Shila. But then they're also teaching, because Lord Chaitanya, he said, you should bathe Giriraj every day. So everyone thinks bathing, you take kancha, ding, ding, ding. Inam snaninam, klim krishnayanama, klim jagannathayanam, klim giridharayanam, whatever, you know. And you can be really like fancy and like, you know. Or you can just say, I don't know any mantras, you know, you're just my everything, and you're crying. Whereas that's a top stage. But if we don't have that idea that that's where we're going, or we don't have our idea that that's the way it's done, then how will we ever aspire to have that idea or ever aspire to bathe Giriraj like that? That's why Sadhu Sangha and Shastra Parai, Shastra Swadhyaya, studying Shastra and Sadhu Sangha, it creates some utsaha and it creates some desire. Oh, as above, so below. That's why we say param para. We're following. It's not just following bodies. We're supposed to follow their hearts. That's why in the Ragmarg it says bhav tadatmya. It doesn't say deha tadatmya. Of course, that's also included. So I thought we should hear what great benefits we're going to get. So there's some verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila, chapter 3. This is Mahaprabhu's personal shiksha to Pradyumna Mishra. There's a whole lila about that. But basically, the tattva and what he's saying, Lord Chaitanya quoted the Bhagavatam verse, 10th canto, chapter 33, verse 39, Vikriditam Brajabhadu Vir Sakalpita, whatever. But then he commented on that and he gave it his own phrase. He said, Brajavadu Sange Krishna Rasadi Vilas, Je Iha Kohi Shune Korea Vishvas. Brajavaru Sange Krishna Ras Adi Vilas. Ras Adi Vilas. If one faithfully hears Shune Korea Vishvas, if one faithfully hears Sri Krishna's Rasa dance, and other pastimes with the Brajavaru Sange, in the association of the young married brides of Braj, then what happens? Mahaprabhu said, it's a paraphrasing of the Shukadev's Shruti Phal after the Rasa Lila, but a very nice way. Ridro Kamatara Tal Kal Hoyakshaya Tinaguna Shobha Nahi Mahadira Hoy. Very much similar, but a very nice flavor. He said, if one faithfully hears the Ras Lila, that person will no longer be agitated by Maya. Rid ro kam. Kal hoy shaya. Takal. And the time, rid roga means heart disease. Kam means desire. The word kam is a generic group of desire, material desire, spiritual desire. And the greatest one is the Yanmaitanadi Vihamedi Sukami Tucham, desire for enjoying the man and woman. So he's saying that this will become finished. Teen Guna Shobha Nahi Mahadira. There'll be no contamination or no disturbance by the three gunas, which means maya, maya. I just simply translate it like this, that one will no longer be agitated by maya. It literally says agitated by the three modes of nature. The three modes of nature is the subcategories of the illusion that we're trapped in. So then what will happen? And the person will become very peaceful and calm. So let's see. We can put it to the acid test. You have 30 days to see if, by the end of 30 days, if we become very peaceful and calm after hearing the acid. So there's the test. We have to prove the metal here. Then Lord Chaitanya said this. He said, Ujjwala madhura prema bhakta sehi pai anande krishna madhurye vihare sadai jeshune jesade tinrafali tadashi sevava vishtaje sevaharanishi tanrafala ki kahimu kahane na jai nitya sira sehprai sira tanrakai. These are the verses, third chapter, verses 40. It's Antilila 3:3, verses 45 through 50. Translation of what I just read. So hearing faithfully the Ras Lila, one will become purified and no longer agitated by Maya, will become calm and peaceful. So that means that, now, what does that mean? That means that our yoga vehicle is ready for yoga. The body and mind are the body, the driver is the mind, the body is the vehicle. So this is a vehicle for yoga. We're supposed to utilize this body and move in this body to link up with the Supreme. This is yoga. To link our hearts and consciousness with the eternal consciousness, eternal divine loving consciousness of Krishna. This is our bhakti yoga. So this is what Lord Chaitanya is saying. You hear this? First, the vehicle is ready. Now the vehicle is ready to perform yoga. You even see in physical hatha yoga, they tell you first you do enemas and then you do fasting and you have to purify the different lower modes of nature from your body. The tamagun, the contamination and of tamagun within the organs, and meridians and whatnot. So different systems they use to purify the physical vehicle so that we can do pranayama and then finally meditate on our objective, whatever that objective is. So our objective is Chayarada Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Our objective is the lotus feet of Radharani and her seva with Krishna together. So he says, now what other benefit? Now your vehicle is ready. Now what will happen? Now he says in this verse which we read, Ujjwala Madhurya Prema Bhakti Sepai. He says one will attain the sweet and intimate loving service of Sri Krishna and always feel blissful by remembering Krishna's sweet amorous pastimes. Ujjwala Madhurya Prema Bhakti Sepai. Anande Krishna Madhurye Vihare Sadahai. Then fourth verse. This verse we put on the internet. I thought this was the clincher. This is Je Shune Ye Pare. Pare means the lines. Each line is called a pada, char pada, teen pada, do pada. So there are four lines in the verse. Ye Shune Ye Pada Pare. If one hears these verses, shlokas, then phal itadashi, he'll get a particular phal, and which will show him, he'll get fruit that he can see. That's what it literally means. Se bhava vishta, je seva hara nishi. Nishi means night, hara means day, seva means seva. He'll become bhava vishta, means what? What avishta means to enter into, to absorb and become enveloped by. So avishta, bhava avishta means that the sadhaka in Ragmarg, who's following a Manjri Bhava Upasana, he'll become absorbed in the bhava of the gopis and Radharani. This is what it means, bhava tarapmya. So this shruti phala, this is where it goes to. The Vaidisarika reads, and he may become peaceful and calm, and he may then go into the intimate loving service and all these things. Because listen to what he says. One who hears or speaks Ras Lila will be immersed day and night in the Madhurya Bhav, in Madhurya Bhav and Krishna's seva. That's not bad. Orkya. Orkuch. What else? Did you get it? One who hears or speaks Ras Lila. So there's a double benefit. We both got some benefit here. One who hears or speaks Ras Lila will be immersed. Bhava Vishta. He'll be immersed day and night in the Madhurya Bhav and Krishna's seva. Bhava Vishta J Seve Ahara Nisha. He says, this Bhav you'll be absorbed in. What is the Bhav? The Bhav of the Ras Lila, which means Madhurya Bhav. That's not all. Then Lord Chaitanya, he's so amazed. Lord Chaitanya, you can imagine, when he's speaking, he becomes so amazed. He's speaking to this Pradyumna, and when he hears what he's saying, he says, wow, this is amazing. What am I saying? What have I said? What have you heard in your ears that you'll become calm and peaceful and you'll be able to attain a loving seva, Krishna? And then he says, kahimo, he says, that's what he says in the last part of the verse, he says, tanrafal ki kahimo, ki kahimo. You don't must be knowing. Kahimo, ki kahimo, kahane, was his old Bengali, kahane najai. He says, Lord Chaitanya, he says, what more can I say? I told you so much. He says, one who hears or speaks Ras Lila will become immersed day and night in the Madhurya Bhava and Krishna's seva. Is that good? You're good with that? Be absorbed in Madhurya Bhava, be absorbed in Krishna's seva, means Radha and Krishna, day and night. So if you're ready to take that and go? You can take that and go. No, I want more. Hey. So that's what he said. What more? He said, what more could I possibly say? It's so beautiful. I mean, this is my own translation because the verses are a little different translation than what I could see. So one who hears or speaks Ras Lila will be immersed day and night in Madhurya Bhava and Krishna Seva. What more can I possibly say? Tanra Falki Kahimu. Kahane Najai. Says, oh, what? What can I say? Nitya Sira Se Pri Sira Tandra Kai. Kai means body. Manavakya Kaya. Kaya. He said, you will get a Sira Deha. Sira Kaya means Sira Deha. Sira Deha means Sira Sarup. Sarup means Deha, Bhav. You'll get a what kind? Nitya Sira Se Pri. Pri, like those, Sehi, that particular Nitya Sira. Sehi means that particular one. Tanrafal Sehi Kahimo. Kahani Najai. What more can I possibly say? This is great. You'll attain a siddhadeya, and it'll be just like praya. It'll be just like the siddhadeya, the nitya siddha parishad. It's like Tulsi Mandri, like Rati Mandri, like Sampurna Mandri, like Lita Saki, who met Rupa Mandri. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying. The same person who was glorified in Vidagdha Madhav and the Mangalacharan, and the same verse is again used by Krishna's Kaviraj, certainly out of respect and not seeing a better description. He used the same verse in his Mangalacharan of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 1, Adi Lila 1, chapter 1, verse 4. Anarpitam Charit. He says, Una Ujvala Prema. Lord Chaitanya has come to give Madhurya Prema and Svabhakti Shriyam. It's the service of Sri, the service of Srimati Radharani. So now here, this is later, this is the very end of the book. That's the beginning of the book, the Mangalacharana. This is the purpose of Lord Chaitanya's coming to this world. Now, Lord Chaitanya has not spoken all that much. Quite a few things. But this is the very end of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is like the primo, the topmost phal shruti and the topmost imaginable benefits or rewards that one could ever dream to receive by hearing and speaking the Ras Lila. So this is all some amazing treasures and gifts that are awaiting all of us if we hear with faith. Is it clear what I said? Anything unclear? You can look at these verses, translate them yourself, or consider the translation that's there. On to Lila chapter 3, I mean 3rd, I believe it's, well, I know it's Anti Lila. I don't even have the number. I think it's chapter 3. It's Pradyumna Mishra and Ramananda Roy, that whole thing. Verses 45 to 50. Because I was looking up verses for this class, and we came across this a few months ago, and I was amazed. Totally. So back in 1969, Srila Prabhupada in his Krishna book in chapter 33, in the same area where they're discussing the phal shruti, the benefit of hearing, the fruit of hearing this Ras Lila, Prabhupada speaks some sentences, which I really like because in Prabhupada, you can see Lord Chaitanya is giving, he's speaking about the benefits in a very transcendental and wonderful way. But Srila Prabhupada, he gives a different angle about, okay, this is a wonderful subject, and everyone should hear it, but there's some conditions who you should hear from. So I appreciate Prabhupada's, this, of course, is his own words, speaking about, this is his tika to that verse, 10:33:39, the Kriditam Brajabudu Bir. So he says, Srila Prabhupada says, one who actually, every word is important, one who actually hears the Ras Lila will become completely freed from the lusty desire of sex life, which in India we don't use that word so much. But that Prabhupada was speaking to hippies in 1969, 68. So it's a little direct and blunt. But in India, they usually say amor and amorous and these type of things. But this is a quote of what Srila Prabhupada said. He just got right to it. Freed from the lusty desire of sex life. Then he goes on. So first he's actually here. So we have to think, okay, we all have different material desires, whatever they may be. And Prabhupada's saying, you'll get this benefit. You'll get free from it all if you actually hear. So then, actually, how do you define actually? Well, do you hear like the sages who heard Sutta Goswami in the Bhagavatam with rapt attention, the first canto of Bhagavatam? Since they heard with rapt attention means sthitadi, fully, di means intelligent, fully fixed and focused intelligence. There's no question about being tired. They're rishis and sages. You know, they're not so much affected by hunger, thirst, lamentation, fatigue. That's to start with. So with all their yoga balam, tapa balam, they're hearing that Bhagavatam. So we can't match their specifications. We can't. We fall asleep in class and we're tired and our belly hurts and we're not yogis. But somehow they're pointing in this way that to the best of our ability, as much as we can stay awake in a hot, damp basement. Let's think about this. Let's try to hear as best we can. And Prabhupada says, now he says, the conditioned soul should hear the Ras Lila. Now, different authorities may say different things at different times, but the law books, Prabhupada's saying that the conditioned souls, who should hear this Ras Lila? Conditioned souls. Now, this is what I like very much. He said, conditioned souls should hear the Ras Lila, but from whom? Hearing is one thing, and how to hear is another point. The subject is clear, Radha Krishna's Ras Lila. How to hear? With full attention and focus and desire to hear. I really want to hear this, the eagerness to hear, and I really want to improve my devotion, increase my attachment to Radha Krishna, and awaken some deeper sentiments, and not awaken, but say, cultivate some deeper sentiments for them. So then we're ready to actually hear. Then who do we hear from? He said, we should hear from an authorized spiritual master. So the next question is, who is an unauthorized spiritual master? Because if you're a spiritual master, you must be doing something right to have that position. So sometimes I'm a little mystified by Prabhupada's language. Because basically, it's obvious why he said these words, because it's again, Kala Deshan Patra, or well, it's forever time, even now. Because unfortunately, in the Kali Yuga, many imposters and unauthorized people that aren't really authorized because they're taking the post and position of guru and even dressing like guru, but they don't have the authorization. What is the authorization to be guru? First of all, is Brahmanishtam. Are they Brahmanishtam? Are they Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam? Are they Krishna Upashamshaya? Are they fixed in Krishna Bhakti? Are they actually surrender to guru? And do they have the blessings of guru? And do they have the blessings of the parampara? So that would be what we call an authorized person. But many, they're self-styled gurus. They have no parampara and they say whatever, but they have some good karma, they have followers, they have some, you know, they're powerful individuals. But they may not be, at least in the eyes of Srila Prabhupada, or maybe many, authorized because they have motivation. And you often see, that's all you see in the newspaper, is the story of all the unauthorized gurus and what the various nefarious deeds they engage in. So Prabhupada was like that in 1960s. Again, it's Kali Yuga. There will always be so many frauds, the real thing and the fraud. So here from an authorized spiritual master is a guru. This means a guru who is in a disciplic succession and who is always engaged in Krishna consciousness. When a person hears Ras Leela in this way, the effect will be sure. What is the effect? One will be elevated to the highest position of spiritual life, Radha Krishna Prem. So this is something about the benefits of. Any questions about that? What Prabhupada said, anything? Means hear from a proper person. Hear with attention and desire. I think hearing with attention is one thing, but desiring to become a member of Krishna's family is another thing. So we'll begin with, this is verse 29 of the 10th canto. This is called Vasanta Tilak Chandas. Vasanta Tilak Chandas. This meter of this verse, Vasanta Tilak, we're more familiar with the Brahma Samhita. It's the same. Kritva mukhan yavashucha swasanena shushyad bimbadarani charanena uvalikantya ashreru patamasibi kuchakun kamani tasturmijantya urudukkar bhara smatushnim. So first of all, if you haven't been following the classes, just a small review. Krishna called the gopis for the rasa dance, the maharas dance, played the flute, and they all came to join him. And then when Krishna got there, he seemed to reject them and in fact preach to them what they're contemplating or what they're anticipating is morally wrong, religiously immoral, and they should go back home. And what are they there for anyway? Why have you come? Have you come to admire the beauty of the moonshine on the full moon night of Sharad Purnima? You, perchance you came to smell the blossoming lilies in the Yamuna, such a sweet fragrance that only you can get at night. Are you seeking that aroma? Gopis are looking at each other. Who is he talking to? Are we in the right place? Is this Krishna that played the flute? Yeah, there's a flute right in his, it's tucked in his side there. Can you imagine what they're looking at and how they're feeling? And so that imagination and that visualization and that type of thinking, this is how one attentively hears the Bhagavatam. Because you have to hear and focus and feel according to the position you're in and the identity by which you adopt. So when you're reading and hearing, because this isn't some drama that happened 5,000 years ago, we're reading a historical account. This is now time, eternal time, everywhere time. It's nitya. And our entrance there will depend on our bhav and our desire and our focus and internal purity that will come by all that itself. So it's not a story that we're not observers. It's not, you're not going in a movie observing a movie or watching a movie. You're not watching a drama or a Leela performance. Oh, now we'll read the Ras Leela. No, now we'll enter the Ras Leela. Pravesh. We'll enter the Leela. So this is what Prabhupada is alluding to when one actually hears the Ras Leela. Because I want to have the maximum absorption and the maximum effect of speaking and reading and meditating on the Ras Leela. So in order to make it livable and now time workable, I've taken the liberty based on Siddhanta and facts. I've taken the liberty to put all the, put all the translations in the present tense right now. Because this will enhance the ability to visualize. We're not hearing about the past. We're not hearing some sci-fi movie in the future or whatever. So I don't want to be there or there. Even Bhaktivinoda has this song called Sharanagati. Dream of the future near at all. Dream of the future near at all. But deal with times that are with ye and progress ye shall call. This is his original English that he wrote in 1890 or whatever. So he's saying, don't dream about the future and don't lament about the past. Be here in the present. Be here now. So this is how we try to do our bhajan and try to see the leelas. It's not 5,000 years ago on the banks of the Yamuna, a full moon was rising. I don't see it like that. And I don't want to see it like that. Because it's right every day, like that's why many acharyas and sadhus I've heard also, they say, when you speak about the rarity of perfection, they say, all right, that's all said, but don't even think like that. Always think, in this body, in this life, I will get perfection. I will attain prema. But you see so many contrary statements and scriptures, how long it takes, and gutta sanskaras, and purva sanskaras, and sadhusanga, and bhava at birth, and so many things one may see, because I was also presenting these arguments time to time. And one Siddha Mahatma, he's left, one Baba, and he said, no, this is wrong. I also know all these things. This is not the way a devotee thinks. Because if you think like this, that whatever comes to pass, let that come to pass. But your thinking should be that my Krishna can do anything, my Radharani can do anything, no matter how low or whatever I am, that I'll make it. I'll get there, attain perfection. Oh, you know, it's so far to prema. Maybe this life I'll get the nishtha, I'll meet you out, you know. I'll get the nishtha. Then next life, I get it a little harder, I get the ruchi. It's not like this. Dream the impossible dream, right? I mean, it's impossible. But the facts are one thing, but let because everywhere what we read, and this is what makes the substance of Vaishnava biographies, is the incredible mercy stories. Because we've been reading a lot of Vaishnava stories, and they seem like they weren't very qualified, or they're highly placed, initiated by some Radhakund Babaji, and they're in Siddha Pranali and all these things. They're just ordinary princesses or kings. They're not ordinary, but I mean, they're also special people when you actually look a little closer into it. But in many cases, they just get the mercy. That's the kripa. So this is the principle Rupa Goswami mentions. It's a principle of bhava. But all the principles of prema are in bhava, and all the principles of bhava are in sadhana bhakti. We also have it when Radharani is experiencing unlimited, untold ecstasies of Mahabhava and Krishna's association, that sees an ocean of Mahabhava swimming in the ecstasy. But the servants of their experiencing, I mean, that's the fullest expression, the full blossoming of Ladini Shakti when Radharani is expressing her love for Krishna. So how much ulas and bliss they're feeling. So devotees meditating and remembering, worshiping these subjects or these leelas, they also feel some joy, as we've heard so much. And that joy is a drop of the ocean. You stand on the ocean, the waves are blowing, even you're a little bit away from the actual beach, you're sitting on some bench and the ocean is some far, but then the wind is onshore, they call it onshore wind. So you're just sitting talking to your friend, all of a sudden some misty spray comes on your face. It's actually very nice. In the summer, I grew up on the ocean, so they have a boardwalk and there's benches, they sit there. Ah, can be nice. In the winter, maybe not. Freeze on your face. Get ice cubes on your face. So it's very nice. So the whole ocean is not on your face. If it was, there wouldn't be a trace. And you're out of the race. And you lost your place. And your mother will get on your case. So be careful. And watch out for that pepper and watch out for the mace. Mace is a type of spray, by the way. So the point is, in all seriousness aside, or rather front and center, let's say, that those sprays of the ocean, they contact us and give us a very refreshing feel on our face in a hot summer day, even though we're not even in the ocean. So we're not in the ocean on Baobab or Rasa Swarna or Rasa Magana, Rasa Ananda, Karasyam, Bojam, Bojam, Nava Nava Rasa, Bojam, Bojam, Nava Nava Rasa Ananda, Rasa Ananda Magna Karasyam, Das Goswami. No, Das Goswami, Prabhupada Saraswati is praying. When will I relish Radharani's remnants and I'll chew them, repeatedly chew them. Like a cow. A cow chews 50 times and swallows and brings up and chews another 50 times. So when something's good, you don't want it to end. You want it to go on and on and on, relishing it and tasting it, the flavors and the experience. So that's Radharani. Chi Radhaya, Chi Radhaya Madhura Madhura Uchishta Piyusha Saram. Chi Radhaya Madhura Madhura. It's like so Madhura. You have to say it twice. Chi Radhaya Madhura Madhura Uchishta Piyusha Saram. Piyusha is nectar, saram. The essence of all nectar is what? Radharani's prasad. And if she gives that to us, then what happens? Bojam, bojam. Bojam, bojam means I'm eating and eating and eating. Or chewing and chewing, repeatedly chewing. Bojam, bojam. Nava, nava. Again and again. Every bite I take, even they advertise like that. Bliss with every bite. Govinda's bliss bars. You know, they have these candies that devotees make. Govinda's bliss bar. Bliss with every bite, it says in the stuff. In LA, they have. So this is the bojam, bojam. Nava, nava. Every bite I'm getting, nava means newer, newer. Ras, anand, magana, kadasyam. Magana, I'm being submerged in the ras, rasa magana. Oh, when? But I, kada, kadasyam, when will it be? So the translation will be in the present tense. There are beautiful heads bowed in sorrow. Oh, excuse me, I'm past tense here. There are beautiful heads bowed in sorrow. The Braja Gopis are sighing with heavy breaths that dry out their reddened lips. They scratch or scribble the dust of Braj with their toes. And they cry profusely, washing away the kajal and the red kunkum adorning the top of their breasts. They stand silently, overcome with intense grief and sadness. So when the sadhaka begins to meditate on Leela, Leela's collection, it's a avali of different scenes, it's a collection of different scenes. So the first thing that because the sadhaka or the listener or the observer of any movie or drama, they will identify with some character. Generally, the men identify with the man in the movie, the hero, generally. And the women identify with, now they say actress or actors, female actor, male actor, whatever, different terms. But the lover and the beloved in a love story, you'll identify. And as you become more absorbed in a movie identifying, you may lose your theater seat identity and become the identity of the superstar on the screen. This is called equalization. There's visualization. You visualize the whole scene, you're seeing it. Here you're not seeing a movie of Rasa Lila. The movie you have to see in your heart, in your meditation, you see the movie of the Lila. And as you see the cinema movie in front of your eyes, you're supposed to see Krishna's Lilas, various Lilas, in the cinema screen of your mind. So when you're seeing the movie, then you can enter into it. You choose, usually the movie unfolds. And you haven't identified with one character yet, because you don't know what's going on here. Unless it's your favorite hero or heroine, and you know they're in that movie, then as soon as you go, okay, what are they going to do? What are they going to do in this one? People have their fan, they call fans. It's not that important. But the idea is that we're trying to enter the Leela. So now, as you identify with someone in the movie, when the Leela begins, then you identify. So here, the focus, the camera now, first the camera was focused on Krishna. There's different cameras in the scene. So one camera's on Krishna, and he's saying, so you should go back home, and this is not moral, you should follow the Dharma. The duty of a woman is to take care of the husband and the children and the relatives of the husband. And so then, the camera's on Krishna while he's making this delivery, and he's being very dramatic about it. Then the camera pans to the gopis. Heads are hanging down. So this is called absorbing oneself in the anubhavas. And this is a principle in drama, and also a principle, this is part of Sadharanikaran. Sadharanikaran is in the Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, where we try to identify with the characters in the movie, how they're feeling and visualizing. And in a mundane drama, in mundane ras, this is the principle, which is also there to the degree one can identify with the physical expressions of the feelings in the heart, the outward physical expressions, voluntary outward physical expressions, those are called anubhav. So for example, the camera's on Krishna, now the camera's on the gopis. So that camera should be us. We're looking at the gopis, and because they're the ones we're with. We're identifying with the gopis. Now, how do they feel? So we read this, their heads are hanging down, so we hang our head down. By physically, just like, I'm not very humble, but when you go down on the ground, physical moves and physical postures and expressions, they influence the mind and heart. It's called body language. You ever hear about it? Lady looks at you, hey, man, hey, my body is getting affected by your glance. So the physical affects the mental and emotional, and the mental and emotional has effect on the physical plane. They're back and forth. So I remember the classic statement is, you're standing in a Mangalartik and you're totally tired and half sick. And then temple commander says, hey, dance, come on. Lokanath Swami is leading kirtan, dance. And I said, later. Leave me alone. No, I'm not enthusiastic. I don't feel like, just dance and you'll become enthusiastic. They would say, just dance and you'll become enthusiastic. It's okay. Because your heart's going so fast and blood's going everywhere, and naturally you start going. So this is what we're supposed to do. In other words, we don't dress like gopis. That's we don't follow that line of identification. But how do they feel? Their heads are hanging down, and they're expressing their anger. They're anxious. They're disappointed. They're unhappy. They're frustrated. So you have to imbibe. Of course, if we've been hearing every verse, we're just dropping in like a helicopter on a parachute. The Leela's going. scribble your foot on the ground, and like this. So this is the verse. So we have to spend time because we have to, because it's not moving like a movie. Every 5 seconds, there's a new scene to think about it and absorb ourselves. We have to, when we start off with one verse, and we have to visualize. That's called a visualization. Okay, I'm there. I'm in this lila, and I'm doing some seva, or my seva is just simply to look at their faces of Radharani or my Yukteswari Gopi, leading Gopi. So this is the visualization. So how are all the gopis feeling? Their heads are hanging down, and their lips are all dry, and they're scratching the grounds, and just try to see. What a sight. Can you imagine what a sight they look like? Kajula has come down. So this, we say, oh, how do you meditate? I don't know how to meditate. This is an introduction, how to meditate. Can you see the scene? Can you see the characters? Can you see particular characters? Like first, you're out of focus. Oh, there seems like 100 people there in the distance. Well, then, there's only 50. And then you go closer, higher power. Hey, it's a president or whatever. So this is the focus. You meditate and you see, what is Radharani? So Radharani or Yukteswari or who you're following, especially Radharani, then you can try to think. So this is a verse, and I had some notes that kind of out of sync here. Anyway, I'll just step back a little bit. We said all that. He said that this lila that we're hearing is the greatest lila. That's the reason we're kind of harping about the greatness of the lila, because simply by glorifying this lila, Krishna becomes very happy. Because this is the epitome of all his lilas. And all different rastas, everything is here. And this is so symbolic. It has so many meanings. But ultimately, the ultimate meaning is that we go there and dance and serve Krishna in the Ras Lila. It is meant as an invitation because we're in one chakra, samsara chakra. This is the mandala, Bhu Mandala. You've heard of Bhu Mandala, this whole universe called Bhu Mandala. And we're orbiting in the samsara chakra, birth after death. So the only way to leave this chakra is to enter that mandala. There's Bhu Mandala Chordye, then Ras Mandala Prapti. You can attain the Ras Mandala. So now we're spinning and dancing to Maya. There's even verses like that in the Bhagavatam. So the people are dancing like puppets on the strings of Maya. You know, like Maya's making us dance like a puppet or a marionette, raise your arm and leg. But here in the Ras Lila, it's not Maya, it's Yoga Maya. And Krishna's Bamshi, Murali. He plays the flute and everyone spins and dances. Everyone is spinning and whirling and dancing around the center. And the center is one for everyone. One you, one center. So that's why the gopis are saying, even though the gopis were holding hands with each other. There's two gopis, you can see. Two gopis are holding hands. So actually, each gopi has a half of Krishna, if you look at it. And this is what it says in the Rasa. This is the actual correct painting. This is what the actual Rasa dance was. There are two gopis, one Krishna, two gopis, one Krishna. Right? Two gold beads, one blue bead. Like to make a necklace, you can make a necklace. Two sapphires, one gold bead, two sapphires, one gold bead, two sapphires, one gold bead. Then there can be a centerpiece, a big gold bead and a big sapphire. So that's the special form of Radha and Krishna in the middle. And Krishna everywhere expanding. Radharani, all the gopis are Radharani's expansions. And all the Krishna's dancing with those gopis is Krishna's expansions. But there's one special Krishna for that one form of Radharani. Radharani only has one form of herself for Krishna. But Krishna has many forms of himself for the other gopis. And they're her expansions. So it's Krishna has many forms, and Radharani has many forms, but it's just Radha. Radha for Krishna, that's it. So this is the greatest Leela, and Krishna's Kaviraj, he says that Ras Leela is the Leela Sar. It is the Sar means the essence of all Leelas. And Krishna Chakravarti, he says, Sarva Lila Chudamani. Sarva Lila Chudamani. Money means gem, Chuda means the crown, crest jewel. So of all Krishna's pastimes, Rasa Lila is the jewel. And I mentioned something about how it's like a love story, celebration of divine love. True love, full of pure and selfless exchanges between Bhagavan and his devotees. So I wanted to give a little review, but just for 1 minute, not several classes, which I gave in the beginning, because I'll zero in on this one point. In Radha Krishna's Rasa Lila, we find all the elements of a love story. But this is not a regular, ordinary love story. It's the greatest, most perfect love story ever told. All love stories have different parts or stages, or what we call acts and scenes, and common features of a drama. So Radha Krishna's love story, although it's divine and immaculate and pure and transcendental, it also contains these features and different stages of a love story. What are the different stages in love? And the story of love. Everyone has their own love story because they have fallen in love or whatever. So this is divinely immaculate, pure. First is attraction. No attraction, no reaction. And no action. So first is attraction. And then anticipation, awakening, and developing. So you're attracted to someone, then you're anticipating, will we meet? Will anything spark? Will anything happen? And then there's the anticipation, awakening, and developing. You're developing your attraction and awakening, and more awakening, we should say rising. The attraction is rising. Oh, I must meet that person. I have to meet that person. Sometimes you go to meet that person many times and they're not there. I've had the experience going to meet people and they're not there. I said, oh, I came so many times. And people say that to me also. I came so many times, the door was locked. And I just say, is there any loss coming to Radhakund? Okay, not seeing me, that's no big loss. I mean, no loss. But you took darshan of Radhakund? Yes. Did you take snan? No. Oh. Well, next time you come, I may not be there too, but make sure you come and take a snan so you get the full benefit. So then people can't argue much because, okay, you live next to an ocean of prema. Oh, I didn't see you. It's like you live next to the most famous ice cream store in the world. Someone comes to visit you. Oh, you weren't there. And the guy says, well, did you get some ice cream? Yeah, yeah, I stopped and got some ice cream. So there's no loss. You got a good benefit. You didn't come to my side of town where that big ice cream store is. You wouldn't have got that treat. So there's nowhere in all Braj Mandal where you have Radhakund except Radhakund. Attraction, and then the long-awaited meeting. Then then step three, conflict. Aj vivaha, ka vivad. Salai. So then there's conflict. And what happens after conflict? Separation. Then the person may or may not experience loss, hankering, and searching. And then after that, if you're lucky, there's reunion. And if you're really lucky, there's celebration. Rejoicing and loving bliss. It's nice, huh? So this is Madhurya Lila of Krishna. So up to this point, the Braja Gopis and their gallant, transcendental, romantic Sri Krishna have progressed through the stage of attraction. They're attracting each other. They met, and now there's a conflict of interest has arisen. Krishna wants the Braja Gopis to go home, and they want to stay. So here we find our dear sweet Braja Gopis being crushed by the rejection and disappointment, a seeming conflict of hearts. After hearing their beloved's harsh words of rejection and dharmic dialogue, Now in this verse, the Brajagopis are preparing to respond to Krishna. First emotionally, then physically, then finally verbally, they will express this condition of their hearts. Physically means their heads are hanging down. And their emotions, obviously, they're trembling, they're perspiring, they're crying. Their anxiety, chinta, it's one of the Avachari Bhav, Santari Bhav, chinta, anxiety, and that's expressed by scratching the ground, scribbling the ground, your toe, big toe. Jiva Goswami said it was the big toe. It's a little hard to use a small one. It's easier. You can imagine, because ladies are such good dancers and it's so artistic, you might just imagine how the gopis scratch the ground with their big toe. And we hear about Siddha Krishnadas and other babas and Srinivasachari and Ramchandra. They get lost for 3 days in meditation, samadhi, underneath the water of Radhakund, looking for one toe ring. So that kind of absorption can be there. For them, many, it's Siddha Krishnadas with his disciple, and many examples of their Leela Pravesh. Then what awaits us? So what I'm saying is just this one scene. Are you seeing Radharani with her feet and how beautiful her feet look and her toe is going around? Is she doing it in such a way that her toenails get Braja Raj on it? Or she's doing it in such a way she doesn't get her nail polish dirty? You know, if you do it the wrong way, you get your dirt on your nail. So is she doing it in a very, you know, just the very top of the toe, just, and what she, and then the next thing is she's scribbling. What's she scribbling? She's writing something. You. Why? You know, and then Lita looks out. Because everyone thinks everyone else is scribbling. But Radharani, she's Triveda Bharatishri. She's Triveda Bharatishri. Bharatishri, she's the controller of Bharati. Bharati is Saraswati. Veena Pani, she plays the Veena. The Saraswati, so Radharani is the guru of Saraswati, Bharatishwari. So she's okay, everyone's scribbling, but Radharani, everything Radharani does is with a purpose. So it's just, John, that, okay, I'm an anxiety and just scribbling. Like someone says, why are you doing that? There's no purpose. I'm just bored. So Radharani, and when she's scribbling on the ground, is with a purpose. So with her big toe, she's writing, why? She's writing, tum. Not even up. Tum, there's up and tum. Tum is like you this. Or you can say, oh, you're my dearest. I say you is you respectful is up. Oh, you should please, you come here. You that means up, you know, in Hindi. You say tum jao. Tum jao means you get the hell out of here fast. Of course the inflection, you can also don't even know what the language is. You understand this? This guy doesn't sound too peaceful. Let me go. So tum jao. So Rani's writing tum, not up. Tum. You. Dirt. Not D-I-R-T. That's the dirt. Braja Raj. She's writing dirt. D-H-U-R-T. Krishna doesn't even know it. And then Lita looks out. Got that right. and then Rupa's right there. Oh, cha. And then Vishaka's looking. Oh, so the Mantri sees Vishaka's face and sees Vishaka looking on the ground. And she looks on the ground. She looks where Vishaka's looking. Then she understands. Oh, and then the Mantri goes, oh, this is called Sadharani, Karan. So there's no hurry. Why to read Asuka Leela in 24 hours? I got to read everything. Read one verse and one leela, go deep in your sarup and the meditation, and lose yourself all day. Guruji told me the same. It's easy. This Ras Leela is made of water. It is an ocean. If you get in the ocean, so many things happen. There's eddies, there's whirlpools, there's riptides. There's undertows, there's waves, there's tidal waves. Just you fall in the ocean. So this is the love story of Krishna. So they're about to reply. So their hearts are tossing and turning. their emotions are emotions in turmoil, and they're expressing it in different ways. Tears are, they're crying, ashru. Tears are falling. And the acharyas give some very nice commentaries. We'll hear from them, how they speak. So they're getting ready. This is the warm-up for their reply to Krishna. Long-awaited reply. And they'll speak 11 verses, verse 31 to 41. Chapter 29, 31 to 41 is called Pranaya Gita. And line one. Usually we go through the lines just so we spend a lot of time with the scene, with the feelings, with the exchange, with the leela. Kritva mukam yavashucha shvashanena shushyad. Muka means face, mukara, mukani. Kritva mukani ava. It says avashucha. Shucha means lamentation, shoch. Lamentation, sorrow, unhappiness, dejection, disappointment. Shucha. And then ava. You know, everyone knows avatar. Ava means one who comes down. Ava means come down. So it's ava. He says ava shucha. Ava shucha. Their heads hanging down. In other words, if someone is talking to you and they hang their head down, and it's a very clear physical expression of unhappiness and sadness. And you might think, if you're looking at this scene objectively, you think, this Krishna is so cruel. Krishna is so cruel. And the gopis are so surrendered, and just girls, they're just young girls. And he's subjecting them to such hardship and such, but it's all the play of love. And we'll see how it unfolds, how Krishna reveals the greatness of their love. So this is, it says there, shwasha. It says shwashanena. Shwash is also in pranayam. This is breath. It says they were sighing. Heavily, they were sighing and breathing very heavily. So now when I was saying about identify with anubhavas, I'll give you an example. Is that we read so many words and we read so many expressions. Do we even know what it means? Or do we even know what we're reading? Without knowing what we're reading and knowing what the words and phrases mean, then we can't understand or see it. So in terms of anubhav, it says to kind of, this is where you melting or the meeting, you can blending of the hearts and the minds of the sadhaka. Because we don't hear the Ras Leela as a participant in a Bhagavad Saptaha. We're not simply sitting in a Bhagavad Saptaha to accumulate punya, or because it's very auspicious and you get lots of sukriti. And it's also ultimately purifying of the consciousness. Shrinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtana radiyantaksto yabhadrani vidranoti saritsatam. So it's a punya kritam. So hearing the Bhagavad Shravan, it purifies the heart. We don't even know. But mostly people are there for benefit. But we're hearing Ras Leela, we're reading Ras Leela, or reading Govinda Leela Amrita, or hearing as participants. So we have to enter as participants and feel as participants. We're participating, we're not observers, we're serving. We're participating, we're seeing, we're feeling, we're serving there. Otherwise, the whole experience and the whole reality of the Leelas, of Govinda Leela Amrita, Bhavana Amrita, etc., they'll only be playing externally on the surface of our mind. Because unless there's immersion, one has to immerse the mind and heart and intelligence in the whole visualization and the feeling, identifying. So sighing, what is sighing? Because this is not a movie. If you see a movie, all the actresses and everyone's doing everything. So you're seeing all those anubhavas, right? You're seeing the anubhav means the physical expression of the emotions. Oh, like the boyfriend says something, I'm leaving or whatever. She says she's leaving him, whatever. Oh, and it's, so So when one does that for like 45 seconds, then that physical, as I mentioned earlier, that physical imitation, you could say, physical imitation of what they're doing, you can kind of brings your heart to the level where they are. Can you understand what I'm saying? Is it clear? So we have terms, audience participation, you know, joke show or something. Hey, excuse me, sir, what do you think about that? Yeah, and the camera goes on the audience. So the audience is the sadhaka, and it's just you alone. You're all by yourself. And you're born alone, you die alone, you do bhajan alone. Okay, you have a husband and wife. She's doing her bhajan. She's doing her yuga bhajan. And you're doing your yuga bhajan. But as a yuga, you're not doing yuga bhajan. Maybe bhajan, but not bhajan. That's another department. Everywhere is told. Janaka Panda says austerity should be done alone. Fighting should be done with as many as possible. If you're going to fight, you should have at least 50 guys on your side. And the other team should have 10. So this is the point. The point is that austerity has to be performed alone, and controlling the mind is the greatest austerity. Ask anybody. Is there any greater austerity than controlling the mind? That is it. Control the mind. The mind is a pivot point of bondage or liberation. With the mind, we get liberated. With the mind, we stay bound. So just a review of what I've said already. I've written it, so I'll read it to reinforce the point. Because we're speaking to our friends and students and to any other people. As everyone knows, when these classes are recorded and put on internet, there's no fear that we're sharing secret topics with the masses. Because after 5 years of some classes like mine on the internet, 100 people have listened, 50 people. So automatically the subject matter is such that people automatically disqualify themselves and don't hear. Because I was discussing with my Gurudev teacher, I said, you know, 2014 I was on television, Indian television, 2 hours a day for 1 month, the same month, 2 hours a day, an hour in the morning, hour evening, speaking on the first 28 verses. And it was a big thing. And I was inspired that said even the conditioned souls get benefit by Prabhupada's statement. So when I asked my teacher, I said, I want to speak again on this subject. Can I have your blessings? He said, you're going on television again. Because he knows. I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. He said, so who are you speaking to? I'm speaking to two or three or whatever, a few sincere devotees that are, and maybe a few people around the world listen. He said, okay. He said, it's not for TV. I mean, other people may do on the TV or big bundles of 50,000 people and Rasalila Katha. It goes on. I've even seen myself. I've attended some in Vrindavan. But I have to follow my line. But I'm reassured that because I've seen it, it's hardly. Then you look at someone, so-and-so is kirtan tape, 3 million hits, 3 million likes. So people don't too much like these things. So therefore, since it's a very select audience, I'm only going to address the select audience and be very particular about the teachings, because I want to deepen my own practice of Mandri Bhava Upasana, and anyone wants to go along that line, then they will feel encouraged, encouraged or get support for what they're already doing. Because we're few on this side of things, as one knows. But everyone feels, that's the beauty of it, everyone feels they're very fortunate. So even if you're not on this side and you're on the other side of things, one feels very fortunate. Because I also felt very fortunate. And now I feel more very fortunate. So just as a review, that we should try to visualize, reflect upon the scene, the time, the place, the players, which means the hero and the heroine, Nayak, Nayaka, Nayaka, lover and beloved, try to enter the Braja Gopis' hearts, identify with their feelings, become Bhavaparapnya. One heart, one feeling, one response. Zero in and focus on one particular Braja Gopi. It's kind of review. I kind of spoke it up. Learn my notes well. One particular, of course, it's also pretty old stuff. Focus on one particular Braja Gopi. Say Srimati Radharani, Vishakha, Rati Manjari, Tulsi Manjari. How are they feeling? How you can serve them? Maybe serving them just by encouraging their feelings. Because service doesn't always mean moving all the senses. Service can just mean looking. Serving Radharani by looking at her or feeling empathy with her, or feeling the same thing she feels. She may look around, she's feeling a certain way, and Radharani looks around at her sakis to get support for her feelings. So those, especially the mandris, because there's so much, as Radharani's heart beats, the mandri's heart beats. As Radharani inhales, the mandri's inhale. As Radharani exhales, the mandri's exhale. So there's so much, they're just like, they're like the perfect dance team. She dances, steps to the right, the mandri steps to the right. They never miss a beat, they never miss a step. Whereas some of the sakis, their attention may be divided between Radharani and Krishna in a particular leela. But the mandris, their focus is like a laser, you know, laser? Laser beam, it's always on Radharani or the Yudheshwari. So we focus on Radharani, or we can also our own Guru Sakhi, Guru Mandri. How they feel, how you can serve them, please them at this moment. As I mentioned, may not be doing anything. You're there, part of the entourage of Radharani, and you're standing there, and you're maybe carrying some service parent fennel in your hands. You're carrying a tray with some tambul, or holding a chamara, or have some flowers, or even a mala. One fresh mala over your arm. You may have many items of seva paraphernalia, seva upachar, but you're just standing there and listening to Krishna speaking. Now you're feeling what Radharani's feeling. So when Radharani looks, because she's not like some robots, she hangs her head down, she looks like this. She wants to look to see. She may just, Radharani may glance to the left or glance to the right and see Vishakha or Lita or some sakis. And those sakis, when she looks at them, they're pushing her feelings, they're helping her feelings, they will look at her with an encouragement. Yes, you know, you should speak. So the service is done through the eyes, and the eyes are expressing the heart. So then the mandris, They're looking towards Radharani. Yes, now is the time to speak. Because Radharani's looking. When Radharani's looking, her eyes are saying, because Krishna stopped his speech. Krishna stopped his speech, his pravachan. Now the Gopi, he's waiting, tennis. The backhand, the forehand. It's their volley. It's their turn. So now this is the prelude. They're still trembling and reverberating from the heavy bombardment of his words. His disappointing, rejecting words. So now they're kind of shell-shocked, as they say. And they're trembling, they're nervous. They don't know what to do with their energy. They don't know where to place their hearts. Their minds are in turmoil and anxious. So it's being expressed through their body. So now someone has to speak. Krishna's waiting. He says, listen, you should go home now. Now, what do you have to say about that? That's their answer. When they hang down their heads, that's called body language. So when they hang down their heads, and Krishna, imagine Krishna gives his heavy delivery of rejection and morality, and then they're looking at him. Then he's finished. And so now what do you have to say? You hang down your head and you start crying, and tears are going down your face so profusely that the kajal in your eyes, black streams are going down, and the black streams fall on your raised breast, and they mix with black and red. There's red powder there, and black and red becomes purple. Is it right? Or blue and black? I forget. Black and red is something like that. Maybe whatever. I'm not too good on that. So then there's two lines. So now Krishna doesn't understand what that means. If you're a lover and don't know the language of love, then you're not a lover. Simple as that. So he's like, oh, maybe they didn't like what I said. Maybe they don't, doesn't look like they want to go anywhere. So it's if this is a scene where it was in a movie that the ladies in the audience, because they're soft-hearted, which is a great asset. Great asset. If any man meets a woman, he says, just give me one blessing. Can you make my heart soft enough so I can cry? Bus. I don't want anything more. Go, you go. Bye. Just give me the blessing. Please bless me. Make my heart soft enough so I can cry. So I can cry. Not me. So in a movie, with all the music and the violin, whatever, you know, all the music getting your brain and heart riled up, when someone would see this scene, the ladies in the audience seeing all these poor ladies, they would think, oh, these poor things, you know, these poor girls. And this guy is really, you know, so then they're crying. So then you think the people in the audience, oh, that's nice. You know, no, if they have a soft heart, the ladies will be crying too, isn't it? But then where's Sadhguru? So the gopis hung down their heads. I got to finish this thing. You know, I have to read for an hour. I have to read the chapter 29. So this is the focusing of the meditator or the listener to the Hari Katha, the Rasalila Katha. Try to pay a lot of attention. In this verse, we can see Vishnu Chakravarti, he describes it in his description, his tika. He describes that the gopis are feeling shame, shyness, and embarrassment. As the question is asked, what is the meaning? Why are the gopis lowering their faces and have heavy breathing? It's a quiz. 5 points. Why? What is the meaning of the gopis lowering their faces? So Vishnu Chakravarti, he poses that question. He gives the answer. Is that gopis are feeling ashamed or shameful. They're shy. They're embarrassed. And his tika is here. He says, this verse expresses what the gopis experienced in their anxiety. So they're anxious. And their hearts are full of anxiety. Oh, acceptance, rejection, go home, stay. So they're so anxious. What's going to happen? So disappointed. So then it comes out as so they short circuit. They can't think. Their feelings have hit an impasse and an obstacle and block which seems insurmountable. So then they start crying. Oh, and they're sighing. Oh, it's like a it's an interesting phrase. It's like a heart attack. Interesting. It's a heart attack. Krishna's attacked their heart. I don't mean the physical heart, you know, tooth guy, heart attack. I mean that Krishna's attacked their hearts with his words. His words can really pierce. Swords and arrows only pierce the skin, but words pierce the heart. Straight. You know, arrow or sword pierces the skin. You put some betadine in a bandage, and then you're fixed up. In a few weeks, you get better. If somebody shoots your heart, pierces your heart, it may take years. It may take lifetimes. That heart scar, it's called heart scar. Scar means when you cut and leave some impression, remnant on your arm or leg, a scar where it heals up funny. So it's scar of the heart. So he says this expresses, the gopis lowering their heads indicates the gopis' shame. The gopis felt, we gave up our natural shyness at the invitation of prema, But now again, shyness has returned. Prema made us cast away our shyness and we ran out of our houses into the forest. And such prema is praiseworthy. Prema is defined as that which controls the object of one's love. But if Krishna, the object of our love, has, this is the gopis thinking, prema, they say love conquers all. The greatest controlling factor in the world is love. So the gopis know that. Everyone knows that. It's universal truth. But they're saying, if Krishna is the object of love, and he's not conquered by our love, then what does that say? Then our love must not be real. Our love must not be genuine. If that is a fact, the gopis think, then what is the purpose of our giving up all our shyness? In this way, the Brajagopis felt remorse and embarrassment, which was expressed in their faces. They're sighing, and their faces hang downward, expressing their remorse. So I guess we'll continue with verse 29 tomorrow and discuss line 2. The beautiful gopis bow their heads in sorrow and sigh with heavy breaths that dry out their red lips. They scribble and scratch the ground with their beautiful toes and start crying profusely, which washes away the eyeliner, cudgel, and the red powder on their breasts. They stand silently, overcome with intense grief and separation. This is the translation of verse 29 of the 10th canto. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana ki jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.